Yeah, Linux Fest 2013! Woohoo! I am Beth Lynn Eicher with the Ohio Linux Fest. I am here to kick off your morning. Our theme for this weekend is FOSS, Connecting the World. What are the types of things that when we talk about connections? I think about human connections. Many great friends I've met here at the Ohio Linux Fest. A lot of great friends I brought to the Ohio Linux Fest. For those who have been to the Ohio Linux Fest for good many years are no stranger to Mad Dog here, who has put together the challenge every single year to bring a new user to the Ohio Linux Fest. Whether it be someone who is new to Linux, someone who is currently a Microsoft user, someone who is not prone to going to conferences, someone who is perhaps a little bit younger. I see many new faces in the crowd today. Thank you all for coming. I hope you enjoy the show. It is the 11th year of us doing this. I say this every year, but this is the best lineup ever. I am especially honored to welcome to the stage Mark Spencer of Digium. Mark Spencer will give a talk entitled Asterisks Around the World. For those who are unfamiliar with Asterisks, it is a free software product that will provide a free software telephony PBX system for those who have managed any small company will know that it is not necessarily scalable to call the telephone company and say, I need several lines of copper brought into my facility. What typically happens is you, the IT person, have to bring in all those connections yourself, put it into your on-site networking closet and use that to connect your company with the world. We are very, very, very much looking forward to this keynote where it will firmly discuss how Asterisk is connecting the world with various corporations that are using Asterisk. Why are they using Asterisk? Because it is the best. There are proprietary products in this space, but this is a supreme area where free software has won. Mark Spencer, Asterisk Around the World. Asterisk Around the World. Mark Spencer.
All of our representatives are currently busy. Please stay on the line, and your call will be answered by the next available representative. Your call is now first in line, and will be answered by the next available representative. Thank you for holding. Your call is very important to us. Please stay on the line. You are the... I'm sorry. You're not the next caller in line. In fact, you are so far down the list, it's actually likely that we won't get to your call today. The next human voice that you might hear on the other end of this line is probably going to be the cleaning lady at 11 o'clock tonight, noticing the phone is off the hook. She'll pick it up and go, hello? And that's the best we'll do for you today. I'm sorry. I have to be honest with you. You are not the next caller in line. Hang up now. Live your life. Spend time with your children. Don't stay on hold. You are not the next caller in line.
All these newfangled technology doodads, you know, it's hard to figure them all out. Okay, is that better? Is that working now? Okay. Great. So, well, welcome you guys to Ohio Linux Fest 2013. My name is Mark Spencer. I'm the founder and CTO of Digium and the original creator of the Asterisk open source telephony platform. So today I want to talk to you guys about, as the title implies, Asterisk around the world, and kind of divide that into several categories. First of all, tell you a little bit about Asterisk and kind of how it created a new world. And then literally Asterisk around the world, some of the installations just literally all over the planet. And then take a few minutes to talk about how Asterisk can kind of connect the world. Not literally just geographies, but different kinds of technologies and things like that. And then talk about even how Asterisk is doing some work outside of this world. And lastly, end up with a little bit about how you can make Asterisk part of your own world if you'd like to do that. I started this little company called Linux Support Services many years ago, back in 1999. At that point, I was still a junior in college at Auburn University. And like most college students, I didn't have any money. And I had a little bit more time. So when you're in that stage of your life, you tend to make decisions you might not make the same way. But having started this company, I, just like many of you probably have done, put together my own website, built my own computer system, and among other things, realized I needed a phone system. And phone systems were absolutely incredibly expensive. They were very proprietary. Obviously, there were no open standards. There was no concept of soft phones or anything like that. And so I got to thinking, I said, you know, if I can just figure out how to get a call into a PC, then all the rest is just software, right? I mean, how hard can it be to just write a phone system? It's, you know, can't be that bad. It's just software. And so I did. I just sort of sat down and took some gear from a company I had been a co-op at called Adtran, figured out how to get calls into a PC in a kind of a Rube Goldberg sort of way, wrote all this software so I could do, you know, voicemail and stuff, and being the nice open source guy that I was, I said, I'm just going to throw this over the fence on the internet and let people download it and see what happens. So I wish I could say that that decision to open source Asterisk was made out of some, you know, incredible understanding about the way the telecom industry worked, but the reality was I just did it because it seemed like it would make sense at the time. And it wasn't really until a couple of years later that we sort of realized that Asterisk was way more interesting to people than this tech support business I was doing. And there are a lot of factors that end up being important to that. First of all, telecom was a really, really expensive business. So open source versus proprietary had a big cost impact. You know, it's not just like Firefox versus Internet Explorer or something like that. Another thing was the audience for telecom tended to be pretty technical. So people that used it tend to be a lot more likely to be able to make enhancements to it. Think about how quickly we had really good compilers under Linux versus how long it took us before we had a decent word processor under Linux. Another thing was that telecom is an area that needed a lot of customization. So people are very particular about the way their phone systems work, especially if you're transitioning from one system to another. You don't want to have to retrain everybody on everything, so it's great to be able to kind of tweak it. Also discovered that geographies have differences in what they want. So for example, in France, a lot of times the way they want their phone system set up is the big boss can only be called by his secretary. So like if you call the big boss, you can only talk with the assistant, and then they have to forward you on to the other phone. Well, you know, most of us don't work that way, so you know, that was something that somebody else had to implement. But the other advantage of open source is it gives everybody an opportunity to participate. I mean, when I first created Asterisk, it was a very limited feature set. But even in a relatively short amount of time, we had people contributing all kinds of crazy feature sets, even to the point of somebody that set up a alarm receiver so that it could receive signals from like those alarm systems at your house and have that in the phone system. So originally, I created Asterisk as APBX. In other words, I wanted it to be a basic phone system where you had phone lines coming in and you could have extensions and voicemail and all that kind of stuff. And at the time that I first created it, that was really breakthrough. That was a very important technology that people had. But since then, what's happened is that Asterisk has shifted from just being a basic PBX, which it still does that functionality, to being an engine that people have used to build all kinds of different sorts of telephony engines to kind of bridge things together, almost like a Swiss Army knife of telecommunications. Let's talk a little bit about what Asterisk can do. Can I give you some pictures here? So Asterisk does both underlying technologies, and it does applications. So applications would be things like voicemail, or collecting call detail records, or conference bridges. It can let you, you know, hear what your credit card balance is, or be placed on hold for 30 minutes, being reminded how important your call is. And then it also supports all kinds of different technologies, both all the new stuff, you know, SIP, WebRTC, all that kind of stuff, as well as a lot of the old technologies. Let's see, do we have any telecom people here? Anybody that's worked with telecom? All right. let's get Billy up here. We're going to do a little challenge here. One of the technologies Astra supports is PRI. So who here knows what PRI is? All right, up close here. What is PRI?
Primary read interface.
All right. All right, how about FXO and FXS? Who knows what FXO and FXS are? Let's see. All right.
Analog hots in and out.
Right. Well, I'm looking for the names, what it stands for. What about you? Up. Oh. Back there.
Port exchange operator, port exchange station.
Okay.
No, operator. I'll give you operator. All right. I think it's office actually. Okay. And how about IX? Anybody know what IX is?
Interexchange.
Close. Way back there. Gray shirt. All right. Just walk it back there.
Where's the trust?
Where's the what?
Where's the trust?
So Asterisk has actually, it turns out, gotten pretty big in the industry. And we've even seen estimates that Asterisk represents as much as 18% of the overall business communications market. Now, don't let that let you think that Digium is a really big company. I mean, we're an okay size, but you know, we're probably about 150 people, and that's a teeny tiny company in the overall telecom space. But having this open source product out there has allowed the project to be able to make a tremendous impact. In fact, Asterisk has created this entire ecosystem of little companies. In fact, you can go to the Asterisk Exchange website and find more than 150 companies that are already registered there. And even today at Digium, we'll have people that come in for training and bring little trinkets and just say, you know, we want to say thank you to you guys for allowing me to create this business. And we've seen this just all over the world, people that are doing little telecom integration companies or that are providing specialized services, whether it's 911 or services for hotel systems or just all kinds of applications that a lot of times are really niche but are really important to them. So that's a little about the Asterisk world, but Asterisk itself is really global. And that's really interesting because, you know, we at Digium, we didn't really have any kind of global presence. I mean, you know, we're based in Huntsville, Alabama. We didn't have anybody anywhere else in the world. But the importance and the value of open source is really recognized all over the world. So even in our early days, we were doing more than half of our business when we were shipping our first cards. More than half of them were going outside the United States. Asterisk is in more than 170 countries, so I can't go through all of them. But I do want to go over just a few kind of illustrative examples to help you understand how open source has impacted a much broader world than you might think. And the one that most comes to mind immediately is Invenio. So Invenio is a nonprofit that does work in oftentimes really remote areas, bringing telecommunications to people that you might not even think of telecommunications as being important to them. One of their first projects was in a set of villages in Western Africa that literally did not even have power, not even electrical power. So these were phone systems that were powered either by solar or by bicycle power. Literally, you'd pedal a bike and charge a battery, and a battery would run the phone system. And they'd use Wi-Fi with highly directional antennas to connect all these villages together. And you might think, well, what benefit does that actually have? I mean, what's somebody that doesn't even have power going to do with a phone system? Well, I mean, this system enabled these people to be able to talk to doctors, to have basic medical service that they didn't have to walk, you know, 15, 20 miles to be able to go get. And, I mean, that's really life-changing stuff to be able to do that. We had an integrator that set up a system so that you could pray at the Western Wall, which is it's really important for Jewish people, and set up this voice over IP system there. I guess you could think of it like a pre-prayed calling card, maybe. But anyway, it was pretty neat. Another example of kind of out-of-the-box thinking where having something that's open source was very helpful. The city of Amsterdam was one of our first whole cities and municipalities to switch over to Asterisk. We've had a few since then, but it was involved 20,000 extensions running on Asterisk. And that was even years ago that they started. And there's another company called Intuit Tech. They're in Malaysia. And Pizza Hut was one of their installations over there. They hooked up all the Pizza Huts to be able to take orders and stuff by phone and automate some of that process and measure how many calls, like if you called in, were you getting service in a reasonable amount of time and so on. But one of the case studies I actually thought was more interesting than the Pizza Hut one here that's on our website is they did an installation for a hospital in which they integrated the phone system with the radio system that goes out to the ambulances so that when an ambulance showed up and you had first responders, they could actually talk to a doctor about the specific condition they were treating and get more than just basic, you know, first responder kind of medical care. They could actually do a little bit of triage and maybe provide some more advanced services. Asterisk obviously has been in development since 99. Just a few statistics about just how big the project has gotten. More than 2 million downloads. And those are just direct downloads. That doesn't count going through distributions like, you know, Fedora, Red Hat, Ubuntu, Debian, any of that stuff. More than 1 million product deployments, production deployments that we know of. 86,000 registered people on the forums and issue trackers. The most concurrent calls we are aware of are 11,000 on a single server. And we know of an installation, 130,000 users with 10,000 concurrent calls. I want to talk a little bit about Digium and kind of the role that we play, because this is a, particularly when we started out, was a little bit of an unusual model. But I want to start by describing my job interview with Microsoft. Now you may be thinking, that's kind of a surprise that you would interview with Microsoft, but this was back in 1998, okay? So, you know, I was still in college, you know, it was early, so you'll have to forgive me, but but they came to campus. They had this great event. In fact, we were just talking about it last night, kind of came down and we're trying to show off a development team and kind of tell you about how everybody, you know, you got these managers and you got the engineers and they work with the support engineers who work with the customers. And they were like, well, where do you think Microsoft gets their ideas for new products? And of course, you're supposed to say from the customers. I said from other companies. It got some laughs, but they still decided to give me a job interview. And it was kind of interesting because we went through all the technologies and, you know, obviously most of my experience had been with Linux. I did have a little bit of experience in high school with Visual Basic and some stuff before that. And the interview was going really well. And then the last question they asked was really interesting. They said, if you could write your own job description at Microsoft, what would it be? And I said, I'd like to write free software for Linux. And there was kind of this pause at the other end of the line. And she goes, well, I'll see if we've got anyone working on that. And somehow a couple weeks later, I got my rejection letter. But it turns out that Digium is exactly what I wanted to do. Because not only, in fact, do I get to work on free software for Linux, but I get to employ tons of other people to work on free software for Linux. And that was really powerful. We're based in Huntsville. And we have obviously a for-profit business, and we have our nonprofit work on Asterisk. And so we sell things like cards. That was kind of how we got started, interface cards. It's a business we thought would last 3 or 4 years, and we're kind of, I guess, 12, 13 years into it now, and it's still going on. So as they say, copper may be buried, but it's not dead. There's still a lot of old school telecom that is still out there. We produce an integrated appliance. So for a lot of telecom companies, they actually don't want to deal with the idea of going and buying a PC and putting cards in it and installing software. They just want something that looks like their old devices and they can put up on the wall, plug in. And we produce a product called Switchbox that does that. We make voice over IP gateway products. We make IP phones, which I'll talk a little bit more about when we start talking about integration. We do training and support. But most importantly, all these things that we do so that we can take money off of that and fund this open source development of Asterisk and be able to augment the sort of natural flow of patches and enhancements that we get from people that are out there working on the project and adding some focus and some management and testing to be able to make that work even better. And from that, Asterisk has been able to power all kinds of different communications, protocol implementations, media I.O. It's really become an engine for the development of all kinds of communications features. And that's not just because it's Asterisk, but that's because you've got so many other open source technologies, right? Like obviously MySQL, Apache, and the WebRTC stuff. And there's all these other pieces that are out there that you start thinking, okay, I can take Sugar CRM and combine it with Asterisk so when a call comes in, I can see my customer's record pop up in front of me. And most recently, we even released phones in which you can program the phones with JavaScript and tie that kind of stuff in with the server. So it's not even, you're not even limited just by, all right, it's got to be IVR, I've got to be able to dial digits to make things happen. Now you can literally have applications, really simple applications that, you know, anybody can do web pages can develop that can talk to Asterisk and have the whole setup going. So you can implement things based on call features or look up phone numbers and pull data and represent it on the phone, whatever you want to do. So with that in mind, I want to take a moment to, you heard a little bit of Allison before. I want to give a little bit more of Allison here for you guys to hear because you need to be able to recognize when Asterisk is in, when you're listening to it in other places. Let's see if I can make this click.
Due to the presence of zombies at the location you have dialed, the office has been evacuated. Please leave a message, and we will return your call as soon as possible. Unless, of course, the apocalypse occurs first. In this event, we'll likely have other priorities.
By the way, these are real asterisk prompts in the extras, so you can feel free to use these in your own phone system if you would like.
Thank you for calling Special Price Analysis and Marketing. For cheap generic Valium, Xanax, and Viagra, please press 1. For Rolex and Gucci replicas, press 2. To enlarge your penis or breasts, press 3. To speak with the Minister of Finance of Nigeria regarding a $50 million account, press 4.
All right, so you guys think you've got Allison's voice, right? So just remember now, when you call into a phone system and you hear that voice, you know that's really asterisk. And then you can even discover all kinds of places where asterisk is being used. For example, at the WGN News here. We learned about this one recently from an article on CNN.
Anything coming up on OWN we should know about?
It's a great season for OWN. Tonight's the big finale for the have and have nots.
Transfer.
Oh, Larry hung up on Oprah.
That's not a valid extension.
You know what?
This is so
I ain't had enough of her.
So yes, asterisk has even hung up on Oprah Winfrey before. The best part is asterisk is still continuing to be disruptive. So since asterisk 11, we've got WebRTC support, which enables peer-to-peer communications within the web browser. And I think that's going to be so disruptive that asterisk might even end up disrupting itself. Could be the first time that happens. And then we have some enhanced programming interfaces. We've had AGI and AMI and asterisk that have done IVR and kind of management interfaces, and we're pulling all that together to make a RESTful interface for people that are pretty used to doing web-based technologies, make that even easier. And then asterisk has even kind of helped out of this world. I've actually personally been working with NASA on a lot of projects to modernize their communications and radio infrastructure, and asterisk is even playing a role there. So lastly, we'd like to encourage you guys, if you get excited about phone calls, if the idea that you have a phone plugged into your computer and you go off hook and you get dial tone and you know it's really from your computer, if that kind of gets you jazzed, we'd love for you to try to make asterisk part of your world. You can come to AsterCon. It's just less than a month away over in Atlanta, which everybody can get to Atlanta. I mean, geez. You always say, even when you die, even if you have to go to heaven or hell, you still have to make a change in Atlanta. Anyway, we're always looking for new members in the community. If you want to contribute code, if you want to help out with bugs or do documentation. I know nobody wants to do documentation, but still, it's at least worth asking. And before we wrap it up, I want to take some time for questions, if you guys want to ask some questions, and I'll do a quick summary after this. Yes, ma'am. Allison is the most famous person in the asterisk community. And she does the voice of asterisk. As she's often said, she is a voice actress, but never had felt like an actress before until she showed up at the first AsterCon. And as soon as she started speaking, everybody got quiet to hear. Although I will say that she has had to deal with some other sort of actress issues as asterisk has gotten even more popular. At the last AsterCon, there was kind of a creepy guy that came up to her and gave her his room key. And she said, "I'm married." And he said, "I don't mind." And when I say she is the most famous, I mean she is the most famous. I recall just two AsterCons ago, there was some guy from South America that came up. I was standing next to Allison, came running up, just shoved me out of the way and went, "Allison, it's so great to meet you finally." Any other questions? I know where I stand, yeah. Yes, sir. It's so NASA's got, well, first of all, this is my first time working with government, and I have discovered that they love acronyms. And so the system I'm working with is called OISM, and it's basically all the work I've been doing is at the Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral. And so this work is called OISE now, which I couldn't even tell you what OISM, I'm not even sure I could tell you what OISE is, and that's the thing that I'm working on. I just know there's like all kinds of acronyms, and I just try to use the acronyms they use. Yes, sir. Okay, I think the question was, do you see asterisk taking any place at home? Well, I do know people that have run Asterisk at their home, and they have done things. For example, even early on, I had a friend named Charlie who set up Asterisk so that when his ex-girlfriend would call from her home phone, it would ring her cell phone, and when she would call from her cell phone, it would ring her home phone. I've also heard of people that have made their children's phones stop working after 10 o'clock at night. And even one person who said that Asterisk saved their marriage by redirecting calls when the other person was maybe not being so faithful and trying to reach the other person, they would play back a "that number is no longer in service" message. So, but those are the kinds of examples that come to mind when I think about Asterisk being at home. Yes, sir.
How about integration with home automation products?
Yes, there are people that are using Asterisk to do home automation. I started kind of playing with that early on, but didn't do too much with it. I think now with smartphones, it's probably less focused on using the audio channel to do the control, and you start doing it more over just regular IP, but there are people that have definitely played with that. The alarm panel is probably the longest running and probably the most sophisticated because it can integrate with a lot of older systems as well. Yes, sir.
How is it named, Asterisk?
How's it named Asterisk? Okay. First of all, because there's so many ways to mispronounce it. No. The reality is I named it Asterisk because of, you guys know obviously what the Asterisk symbol represents in Unix.
Or
wild card. It's the wild card, right? It does everything. And for better or for worse, I usually don't tend to think small, and so I wanted Asterisk to do everything in telecommunications. Plus, it was obviously a little key on the keypad, so that's kind of where it came from. But yes, it is very frequently mispronounced. So the way I suggest people think about it is, it's not your asterisk, it's my asterisk. Other way around. Yes, sir.
Is there any hope for open sourcing some of the proprietary codecs when you're interfacing with some of the commercial equipment?
So the question was, is there any hope for open sourcing some of the codecs? And a lot of the advanced codecs are very heavily patent encumbered. And so we had to be able to license them to be able to include them within Asterisk, probably the most famous one being G729. And we keep thinking that G729 is reaching the end of the patent life in which, you know, it's no longer going to be necessary to have to continue this patent licensing process, and then there'll be some other patent troll that isn't even a party to the regular G729 consortium that will come along with some other claim about G729 that you have to turn around and go license. So I have no idea when it's going to be able to eventually be unencumbered. But the other half of that equation is that on, unless you're really bandwidth limited, a lot of times people are just using much wider codecs, a lot of times just G711. I mean, even in my NASA stuff that I'm doing, everything is G711. We're not even trying to do any kind of compression because bandwidth is getting so cheap these days that it's almost not even worth it. Don't know that that was the answer you were looking for, but...
Not the one I was hoping
for. Yeah. That, I don't understand why they don't. I mean, there are some good open source codecs that are out there. We've obviously tried to include them in Asterisk. There's just, I don't know, they just don't seem to be doing a whole lot of it. I guess because it's like, stuff just kind of works well enough the way that it is that, you know, they always say good is the enemy of great, you know? It's like, well, if it works well enough, then they'll stick with it. I guess the closest we're getting is maybe some of the HD voice stuff is... some of that is kind of semi-open source, I guess. And you'll get stuff like where it's ILBC, where it's source available, but they'll have some little limitation that makes it not literally open source. Like in ILBC, you can't adjust the code to make it incompatible with other versions of it. Well, that's, strictly speaking, that makes it not open source compatible, right? Because you have a limitation on it that a true open source license wouldn't give you. But from a practical level, it's not a big deal because you would want your system to be interoperable with people for the most part, and so we can include it. Well, yes, sir.
So to that end, would the video phones have Opus included on emulator
reps? Well, the Digium phones have Opus on them. That is a good question. Like many phone vendors, we use another company that provides the chip with the codecs already on it. And in our case, that company is Broadcom. And Broadcom is probably not on the very tip top of the list of companies that we think of as the best open source compatible companies that really care about Linux. So I don't know if they're going to support it or not. But if we can get our volumes up high enough, maybe we can try to put some pressure on them. But yeah, it was work just getting them to be like compliant with the letter of the, you know, GPL on stuff. So I don't hold out a tremendous amount of hope on that, but it's always possible. Yes, sir. So the question was, are there any phone vendors that we really battle with? And especially in the phone area, it's a lot of co-opetition. We're very new to the phone business, and you know, we haven't been producing phones for a long time. And we actually had tried to, initially we thought, well, we'll just try to do a partnership with somebody else that makes phones to try to do this. But the key with the Digium phones was we couldn't find anybody that gave you the level of programmability within the phone to really make it meaningful to have a special phone for Asterisk, right? I mean, the reason we did it, I mean, of course, we've got features like it's easy to provision, all that kind of stuff. But the fundamental reason that we jumped into the phone business is because I felt like we were getting limited on what you could do on the server side if you didn't have some level of programmability and control of the client itself, the phone. And there's really nobody else that is doing that. On the other hand, there are companies like, if you think about Polycom has a complete product line, right? They've got all kinds of phones from, you know, basic desk phones to video phones to speaker phones. And so, you know, if you go do an installation, I mean, we don't make a speaker phone because that's a, you know, very specialized product. So we tend to work with other phone vendors. And of course, Asterisk generally, we want to make sure that we're interoperable because that's one of the key things that makes Asterisk so useful is, you know, if you go buy an IP phone, you know, there was a 99.9% chance that things are going to work with Asterisk because everybody tests out with Asterisk. So I wouldn't say we have a whole lot on the phone side. On the card side, we probably have more that we run into, especially with the Chinese clones. So we have a number of people that have called us for tech support on cards, and the serial number is no good. And they're like, but this thing's a Digium card. They'll take a picture, they'll send it to us, and it'll be copied. They'll have our logos. Right down to like the quality control stickers and everything will be the same. But we know by the serial numbers that they're not real cards. They're just clone cards. And that's probably the hardest part to deal with. Well, second hardest part. If I had to say the hardest part is you go into open source. Open source is a lot about passion, right? I mean, people that write free software tend to do it because they're passionate about what they're doing. And as you get big, you'll eventually run into a situation in which people are using your own software to compete with you in a business, right? And when that really started happening in Asterisk, that was probably the hardest thing for me, because I worked really hard to try to build a business that could support doing Asterisk, right? But obviously, financially, Asterisk represents a burden on Digium as a company, right? I mean, we're competing with people that don't have that whole development arm to go out and do, right? They're just taking the Asterisk code base and going and making their own products with it. And that was probably the hardest part, was dealing with competing with people that would use your software and then essentially badmouth your company and say, oh, no, they don't know how to build phone systems. We know how to build phone systems using their stuff, right? I don't think your power supply worked. Oh, you didn't plug it in?
It didn't work.
Okay. All right, well, what else? Yes, sir. Well, the very first T1 card, so the question was, it had to do with open hardware. Is Digium involved in open hardware at all? The very first T1 card we did was a collaboration with Zapata Telephony, Jim Dixon, who really was kind of the core architect of the TDM, the kernel TDM infrastructure that is now called DADI. And the first card we did was an open hardware design. It was a pretty straightforward card, and we included the VHDL, that is the hardware description language of everything. We had schematics, layouts, all that kind of stuff. And we never got not even a single solitary contribution to the design, not even the VHDL, you could download the tools for free to work on that. It wasn't like, it might as well have been software. So we never did any more open hardware since then. There is another company. One of our integrators actually. They used to be called Performatique, and they got acquired. Avincol, that is doing an open hardware Asterisk installation. But I don't know how successful it's going to be. But I've definitely tried to kind of help them out and stuff. I have no aversion to it, certainly, but I haven't seen it be successful before. I don't know whether it's just because the barrier to entry is harder or what. I think maybe the Arduino stuff is showing that there's at least some potential for open hardware being able to take off, but at least on the telecom side, we just haven't seen it yet. Yes, sir?
Did you wear a t-shirt at NASA?
I do wear a t-shirt at NASA.
Do they wear t-shirts?
Not very often. There are some people that do. But I did kind of get bit the last time, because we were going to go look at one of the launch pads before they start tearing it down, one of the shuttle launch pads. And it turns out you cannot wear shorts on the shuttle launch pad. And so I'm hoping I'll be able to make it out before, again, and this time take long pants so that I could see the shuttle launch pad up close before it's all gone. Any other questions?
Oh, wait.
You gotta play one of the Funny Allison ones.
I have played Funny Allison ones. Oh. We played three of them. But you were late. Okay.
Actually, he was sitting there.
Oh, maybe you were on your phone or something. All right, any other questions?
Busted.
Can we see a picture of Allison?
She's married.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if we have internet in here. If we do, I'll try to go Google
to
around. Oh, that's true. You can see her in person.
Good marketing. Can I have a picture with her?
If you show up, you can have a picture with her. She'll do it. You just can't touch her, that's all. That would creep her out. I'll skip that story.
No, now you gotta give.
At an early conference, there was I guess I should back up and say, you know, the whole asterisk thing is sort of like being, I like to call it micro-famous, right? I don't have to worry about being recognized when I go into Kroger to buy groceries or anything like that. But if you get enough people that are really intense about asterisks together, there are some people that kind of overplay that whole fame thing. And we were at this conference, and one of our sales directors was sitting next to this guy from South America, actually. And he asked her, he goes, "Is that really Mark Spencer?" And she's like, "Yeah." He's like, "And you work with him?" "Yeah." "Can I touch him?" No, you can't touch. Anyway, so in summary, we talked about asterisk, the whole new world, asterisk around the world, how it connects the world together, including the world of different kinds of open source software out of this world and how to make it part of your world. So I just want to thank you guys for attending this talk. If you have any questions, you can certainly email me or talk to me after the show. Thank you.